Couple of great geeks, Dave and Anna, the geekiest people you'll ever meet, on 92.5 KYHY, Geek World, Thursdays at noon.
We're back. You're listening to Geek World on 92.5 KYHY. We are your superhero, superhost, Anime, and Dave, bringing you the best in the world of geek. Don't forget, if you want to get in touch with us, you can send us an email to geekworldradio@yahoo.com. Check out our website at geekworldradio.com. And follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/geekworldradio. Also, keep an eye out for Geekin, because, well, as he's going under the name Mr. Geekin, and he's trying to take over.
I gotcha.
He's going crazy.
I gotcha. That's why I've been able to find him. He's got an
agenda.
Yes. A pseudonym. It's no longer Geekin, it's Mr. Geekin.
Yeah, he thinks it makes him sound older or something,
yes.
Some more mature, like maybe he'll get some respect. Like,
exactly, yes.
Like, I don't know. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's really wild, yeah. Yeah. Next he'll probably be, you know, Dr. Geekin, Medicine Geekin.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Anyways, so this is our summer show.
Yes.
Summer show. Second hour of our summer show.
Yes, and now is time.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
It is time to Super Mario-fy the Jersey Shore.
Yes. You know, I have to say real quick, the Jersey Shore is it's one of those shows that comes across every few years that is the epitome of guilty pleasure.
Yes.
Beyond belief. And we've been thinking about it, and we love the first season. It's coming back soon at the end of this month. And I believe that really, I would have to say it's the best thing to happen to Italians since the Super Mario Brothers.
You know.
That I would say that's pretty much you know, the best way to put it. So I guess we should probably just intro this, huh?
Yeah, let's get into this.
They're the Shoryu brothers and creepin's the game. Use the quack and duck phone for weeding out grenades. Princess getting the tan in a juice headland. Coming at you with his pumpers, you'll be hooked on the brothers.
Yeah.
Now some juiced up Koopa Troopas are up to misbehaving, fighting more than the beat. Now the cast needs saving, abusing and confusing everybody they discover. You just can't help but be hooked on the brothers.
To the Shoryu!
Pump your fist up in the air, come on, it's time to go
to the Shoryu!
Chimp tan laundry, that's the way. Let's do the Shoryu!
Like women and Jay!
Mario Shoryu,
Oh yeah,
yeah,
the Shoryu!
Oh yeah. Uh-huh. It's like that.
Yo.
2010.
1985. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
There you go, huh?
We just played that.
Yes. We are like rappers. We're like the second coming of Eminem, but there's two of us.
We're crazy.
Yes.
What is wrong with us?
That was something else, huh?
That was totally something else.
I would say Anime is responsible for both the lyrics and the rapping.
I am a rapper.
That was something else, to say the least. Well, that is going to intro us now into our little section that we like to call the Super Shoryu Brothers.
Yes. Are you ready, Dave?
Oh, I'm all ready. Let's do it.
Okay. Let's get it on.
It's time for the Super Shoryu Brothers. A group of East Coast Italians fall into a magical world full of strange foes and damsels in distress, set in the Guido Kingdom. Ronnie from the Jersey Shore is Ronio, and Pauly D is his brother, Paul Luigi. They navigate their way through the Guido Kingdom, searching for the kidnapped princesses Peach Wow and Daisy Sweetheart. Both are kept captive in the sandcastle by the menacing Shoryu-hating Bowser Lina. As the Shoryu brothers side-scroll past Koopas, juice-head-eating plants, and grenade-like ba-bombs, they receive a number of weapons, including the GTL mushroom, that makes them friggin' huge, and a nice shade of bronze. Also, if Ronio and Paul Luigi find Flower Power Lager, they'll be transformed into crazed, contentious, criminal-like pyromaniacs, burning the Koopa Club down to the ground. On top of that, if they can find the magical star, they get temporary Fight the Beat power, where the music starts and the Shoryos attack it, and their enemies. But the Shoryos aren't alone. Princess Peach Wow's trusty confidant, Snooky Stool, a tiny orange fun-loving toadstool, helps the Shoryos find the princesses and also helps them defeat not only Bowser Lina, but the dreaded Wah Situationo and Wah Vanigi. Beware, though ridiculous, Wah Situationo is sure with his plumber hard abs, I'm going to win! Can Ronnie-O, Paul Luigi, and Snooky Stool find the Magic Warp Duck Phone and save the princesses? Find out on The Super Shoryo Brothers, only on the NES MTV NJ.
Wow.
Yes.
Nice story.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes, we wanted to convey how much the Jersey Shore reminded us of Mario Brothers, and you know, pay a little, you know, homage and respect to the Italian people,
right?
You know, the great Italian people out there, like the cast of Jersey Shore.
I like how a lot of the cast of Jersey Shore isn't Italian.
Yeah, no, not at all. No, and Mario Brothers, you know,
yes.
Once again, you know, probably the greatest Italian icons since Christopher Columbus.
Yeah, and yes. And yeah, for those of you who didn't previously understand why, you know, what the thrill was of the Jersey Shore, you know, now geeks,
yes.
You get it.
And you know, and we're not just
we're
not just like combining crazy words here and making stuff up. I mean, in a way, this is very much like the Jersey Shore, you know?
Yeah.
You get these characters that are all very, you know, let me put it this way. The best thing about the Jersey Shore, if you haven't seen it yet, this will give you an idea. You know, in the real world where they have like all the normal people and then they have like the one crazy person and the one crazy person is there to screw everything up and make everyone really angry and upset? Yeah. The Jersey Shore is a cast full of the crazy person.
Yeah, for those of you who remember that season of Real World with Puck.
Yes.
Every single person in the Jersey Shore house is Puck.
Yes, even if they're females, they're just Puck with breasts. And honestly, like, that's what the show is. They're all nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Every single one of them. And so, you know, it really becomes sort of, you know, much like, you know, watching sort of a car wreck or something. You're just sort of enthralled instantly.
Yeah.
But like we said, you know, we're not just kind of like adding random stuff in here. There's something to go with this story, you know? I'd have to say that, you know, the characters that we picked for, you know, those in Mario Brothers actually have kind of a lot to do with these characters.
Yeah.
So, would you like to talk a little bit about that?
You know, okay, so you start off with you know, we've got Ronnie and Pauly D, and those are our Mario and Luigi.
Yes.
You know, they're the two kind of,
I would say the most normal of the guys.
Yeah, like Ronnie, he gets in fights, but like, you know, it's kind of like jumping on Koopas.
Exactly.
You know, you jump on the Koopas, you jump on the Troopas,
and
you know.
I gotta say, after that episode where Ronnie fought that dude on the boardwalk and did that kind of giant run towards him
spinning
his fist in like a circular motion, I mean, how could he not be Mario? He looks like Mario throwing fireballs at a Koopa.
Yeah.
I mean, he is Mario 100%. I mean, come on. And he's like, you know, he's the biggest dude, and he's like the most kind of, I honestly think he's kind of the most, how do I put this? He doesn't have a lot. He's kind of pure-hearted. He's not like a bad person. He just makes bad decisions.
Yeah,
sometimes.
He makes bad decisions, but they're never intended to be bad.
Exactly.
It's just they just don't come off. They just don't work out.
Yeah, and he's not the most complex guy of guys, but he's like, you know, he seems like a decent guy, you know. And I gotta say, one of the greatest moments of TV history was that reunion show when the situation broke them up. Via the past.
Yes.
The situation, and that's why the situation is
Wario. Yeah.
What situation? Because he's the exact opposite of Ronnie, and he was trying to get Ronnie's girl, which was, Sammy Sweetheart, first, and he couldn't.
Yeah.
So he somehow found a way to break them up in the past.
Yeah.
It was brilliant.
Yeah. It's the most supervillain move ever.
It was a better plan than Skynet had in any of the Terminator movies. You know, it was like brilliant. I don't even know. Like
he is the software.
He is totally like he's Waluigi. Yeah. I'm sorry, he's Wario 100%.
Yeah.
And
so should we move on to the
yes.
So Pauly D, he's Luigi because again, non-threatening.
Yes.
Seems like a pretty good guy. You know, sure he hooks up with JWoww who has a boyfriend, but that's not his problem.
Exactly. You know,
he just seems like a good guy. You know, he's.
Yeah. You know, I gotta say, Luigi's one of these characters that's been given a personality by the fans.
Yeah.
He's sort of like...
He was just player two.
He's sort of like Boba Fett. You know, like, people give Boba Fett more of a personality than he really has. And that's sort of what Luigi is. Like, people kind of... He's like, kind of, you know, just... For the stuff you know about Mario, he's different.
Yeah.
He's just like, you know, all these different things. And so, you know, the thing about Pauly D is, like you said, you know, he's one of these guys that he messes around a lot of chicks and he's cool and he's a DJ, but we don't get a lot of personality out of him because he doesn't cause a lot of trouble.
Nah.
He's like the most neutral of all the characters.
Uh-huh.
He is, you know,
he's the friend to all of them and
He really is a friend to everybody and tries not to hurt people. And so, you know, he's perfect.
And he's just smiling, you know, he's just a happy kid.
He's a nice guy. And yeah, exactly. And, you know, and body type wise too, they kind of work better in the Mario Luigi sense too. So
mm-hmm.
I think, you know, definitely Luigi there without a doubt. And I would say they're two of the more noble people in the house, too.
Yes.
I would say at most. Okay. And then, of course, we would be remiss not to talk about, you know, Toadstool, which not only was a big part of the Mario universe, but also fits to a T.
Tiny and orange and always getting beat up on.
Yes. Yes. Snooki. The good old Snooki. Yes. Which, by the way, if we say Sookie by mistake, it's not our fault.
Yes.
Because it's really difficult to navigate the Sookie Snooki waters.
Aw, Snooki.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just going to think, be Snoop Dogg. Snoop Dogg has yet to do a song about the Jersey Shore, so I think we're set.
Yeah, seriously.
As long as we keep in the mindset of Snoop Dogg, we should be fine. Well, Snooki, you know, is sort of the breakout, you know, along with situation in the show, mostly because she is just, she's sort of branded the Oompa Loompa.
Yeah, you know? She is a princess in herself, but she is still our toadstool.
She's tiny. She's orange,
and that's the other thing. She's just a standout.
Yeah,
like she is the different one from all of them.
She's tiny, orange, and she loves to have fun.
Yes,
and she loves to make people happy. I mean, she's like Toadstool. She's 100% like that character. Like, you know, she's there for everybody, and she's really the heart of the whole house. And you know, and she also made the biggest fool of herself in the pilot, in the beginning. Well, not the pilot, but the whole beginning of the show. But at the end, she came off kind of better than everyone.
Yeah.
At the end, like, she came off less, like, I would say less worse than everyone else, even though in the beginning, she came off, like, really kind of, like...
Well, she's the girl that got too drunk in the beginning and just kind of made a little bit of a fool of herself when there were only, you know, when it's a house of only, like, you know, six people.
Exactly.
You know, yeah. It's
However, lucky for her in the situation and Sammy's sweetheart, anyone who made themselves look really bad, there was Angelina.
Yes.
Who, you know,
that was Angelina.
Had to be Bowser. Without it,
her entire purpose in the first season was just to be there causing trouble. She caused so much trouble. Yeah. She got kicked out pretty early because she refused to work. She was too good for working in a t-shirt shop. She was a bartender.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. One of the
really?
Great lines. I mean, she.
Like, the girl comes in with a garbage bag full of stuff.
I think she was
dating a married man.
I think she was going for, like, an Omarosa, like, sort of thing going there.
Yeah.
Because she is, like, she was just bad. I mean, she was a hater.
Yeah.
She kept, like, the situation
and
the guys from, like, yeah. Can you even say that on the radio?
I don't know.
You just did it, so I guess you can. I didn't know if that
I
was
said
a good
off-blocking.
Yes,
right.
Exactly, yeah. Along with that, you know,
I was talking
terrible.
About my rooster.
Yes. And, of course, along with, you know, with doing all that, with keeping, you know, the guys from their conquest, you know, she was just mean to everybody and, like you said, had a married boyfriend and was just horrible. And I guarantee, if you turned her around, she'd have a shell with spikes on it.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
Probably.
So she had to be the bad guy.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you know, we have...
Let's get to Waluigi.
Waluigi.
Yeah, to Vinny.
Waluigi.
Yeah.
Vinny, yes. Vinny is a very interesting guy.
He's, you know, he's not a bad guy like Wario, you know. He stole their boss's girlfriend.
Yes.
Didn't mean to, but you know he did.
Yeah. He doesn't mind being a prick either.
Yeah,
like he's actually quite comfortable with that. And I would say
it's funny. He's the one guy who's like, I'm in college. I'm gonna have a career after this. I'm just here.
Say what you want about, you know, who the most intelligent person is there, because it's kind of a toss up. But he is definitely probably one of the best educated people there.
Yeah.
And so he, you know, he speaks better than a lot of the people, and so he uses that as his advantage.
And his main concerns aren't gym tan laundry.
Exactly.
Yeah. I have an education.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Which really, it should be gym tan laundry.
It really should.
And, you know, and so,
education,
you know,
is so... You know.
We decided to go on a character-to-character basis. We decided instead of, you know, because in the show, you know, Ronnie it's the situation and Polly are like best friends,
yes.
Right? And but, you know, you can't go like that. You have to go character-to-character. And really, the situation and Vinny Angelina were definitely kind of the most evil of the group.
Yeah, none of them are evil. They're all characters, which is the great thing. That's the thing. They are just, they love being their roles.
And that's the thing, and like we said, that they're all the crazy person. That's the best thing about finishing the first season, at least, of Jersey Shore, is the fact that it's sort of like the end of Reservoir Dogs, where you're not sad everyone died because they're all terrible people. I mean, everyone there, in their way, is they're just not great people.
Yeah.
But they're really entertaining.
Yes.
And they're really amazing characters. And they're caricatures of people that just happen to be, you know, real people. did I leave it? Oh, of course, and then the princesses. We have Peach Wow and Daisy Sweetheart. Of course, Jay Wow and Sammy Sweetheart, which they both definitely got into a lot of hijinks.
Yeah.
Those two. You know, J-Wow had a boyfriend, messed around with Pauly D, got drunk a lot, smacked the situation around a little bit. Sammy Sweetheart was kind of the heartbreaker, right? That's her thing.
They also played the victim a lot.
Oh,
save me. I'm the victim.
I mean, she basically caused the fight Ronnie got into.
Uh-huh.
Though,
Ronnie was essentially trying to defend her, but she she caused it.
And she didn't get punched all the time like poor Snooki there. Yeah. But it's, you know, and this show is just, like I said, it's the epitome of guilty pleasure.
Yeah, it's the kind of thing that you can watch in any state of mind, and you don't watch it because you think it's good.
No.
You watch it because it's the best train wreck on TV.
Yeah, I mean, these people, like, you're sitting here and you're like, what planet are they from?
Yeah, and it's like a zoo.
Yeah, and if you haven't been to Jersey, you'd have no idea. Yeah. Though I guess a lot of them aren't even from Jersey, right?
They're from Long Island, around the East Coast, and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Rhode Island.
But I would have to say, if nothing else, you know, they really make me appreciate the other, you know, really, you know, popular Italians out there, like, you know, Super Mario Brothers.
Right.
And, you know, like,
Mario Mario and Luigi Mario.
Yeah, exactly. So I think the Jersey Shore starts at the end of July. I think it's July
29th. Yeah, I believe so.
So let's
bring this on to reality. Some of the reality shows of we guilty pleasure summer, like reality shows in the summer. It's just you don't have to think at all.
Yes. No. No need whatsoever. And also, they come off less preachy. That's the best part too. You know, there's so many preachy reality shows out there. Like, you know, like anything with that Jillian lady, where she's running around like attacking people in their houses and making them work out.
Yeah. It's always like, under the guise of trying to help people. It's just watching people suffer for our own pleasure.
Yeah,
this is watching people force themselves to suffer.
Then there's even like The Amazing Race, which I think is a great show, and it's really cool to teach people about different cultures, and, you know, I'm not going to take anything away from it, but also, you know, it's this big, stressful, like, you know, race to the finish. And, you know, summer show's a little more chill, a little cooler, and I think, you know, there's two standouts for us right now, and they're both are very, very different. There's three standouts?
Well, one is like, I don't know if it's a game show or if you want to call it, but like...
Well, I would say, I mean, we're not talking about the Jersey Shore, obviously.
No.
We already talked about that. And like, yes, Jersey Shore is July 29th on MTV. I would say, for me, the two standouts of this year, reality-wise, are The Real L Word from Showtime and Top Shot from the History Channel.
I was also going to say Big Brother After Dark, which is one of our best summer guilty pleasures.
I wouldn't put that in the guilty pleasure, like, arena.
Yeah, well, that's pretty much all of these are. I mean, Big Brother is one of those huge guilty pleasures.
The Real L Word is a documentary about sexism in America, and I appreciate it.
Uh-huh.
So don't bring it down with your, you know... Yeah.
Big Brother After Dark is one of the greatest guilty pleasures of the summer. It's on Showtime. We don't watch Big Brother, so we don't actually like know what goes on in the actual show.
Who cares?
But just watching what these people do in the middle of the night when they provide them with a lot of alcohol and when they're all just talking and conniving and...
Well, we should also talk about the fact that, unlike... I don't even know if people know this anymore, but, you know, Big Brother was a British show.
Yes.
It's a British reality show that they brought over to America and has been around for a long time. You know, I have, I have seen the Big Brother set.
Yeah.
You know, I've been at that studio when I used to be a runner, and it is a very interesting little house there in the middle of a big studio surrounded by a big blue fence. It's creepy. It's like a little prison, and I can see why they all feel really isolated
and why they start freaking out so quickly.
Because it's right in Studio City, and the civilization's right there. It's just they can't touch it. Really creepy.
We would do fine, because all we ever do is sit in our apartment, and then occasionally we leave, like, once a week, maybe.
Oh, I would hate it. I would hate having cameras on me all the time.
Oh, yeah, not the cameras part, but the not being able to leave a small area.
I mean, the stuff I say on the show is so, like, vanilla compared to stuff I usually say.
The camera stuff, no. But we wouldn't get stir crazy.
No, not at all, no. As long as we had a PlayStation and Netflix and cable.
Yeah, seriously.
And comic books.
That's true.
And DVDs and, the internet. We should be fine.
Anyways. But so Big Brother After Dark is like this 3 hours a night, and it's just...
I have to say,
it can get crazy. Not so good this season, though.
No, it's at least not yet. You had a really good assessment. You know, we were wondering like what's going on, because I think it was 2 years ago was like it was like the renaissance of Big Brother After Dark.
Oh my god,
I
it mean, was amazing.
There was this one girl who was like
she was this girl who was Randy.
Let's say she was a
she
Randy,
was also
Randy
so
lady.
Desperate for attention.
Yeah, thank God for that.
Oh my god.
Yes.
Yeah.
She was sort of like, you know, I didn't even know. You know, Les Trueblood, when they grabbed that stripper, you know, it was sort of like that, but she was a Big Brother character. And yeah, it was great. I mean, it was all kind of, you know, it started off with a little bit of, I can't even say what happened, the first dirty thing that happened with her. But it kind of later turned into some sort of big whipped cream party.
There was lesbianism, strip shows, and, you know, practically orgies in the pool.
Yes.
So.
Definitely some sex stuff going on between men and women too. Yeah, it was and like you said, lesbianism. It was a truly great moment in TV history.
Seriously,
and it will never be replicated again because you know, I don't think you can get that girl again. I mean, she is like, you know, in Watchmen, when like, you know, the whole thing where like, you know, you're a unique flower, that's why I'm gonna come back to Earth and, you know, try to help. Yes. That's what that lady was like. She was a unique flower that we'll never see on Big Brother again.
Yes. But as you're saying, what I was saying was that like this season just seems weird, because like in the past seasons it's been people that are trying to be famous, or people that like, you know, people that are in it for the game show kind of thing, like in it for the show aspect of it.
Yeah.
This year it seems to be a whole lot of people that are like, I'm out of work, I need something that's going to bring in some money. This will give me some money. I'm doing this as a job, and if I can win this, I'm going to win, and I'm going to make this money because I need money, because I've got loans and bills to pay.
Such a bore, isn't it?
Yeah.
Everyone is so... You're right. Everyone's like...
they're all obsessing over like actually winning and strategizing and stuff. It's like, we don't want that stuff.
Well, what's weird, too, is, you know, in Survivor, there's always like...
Give them
people,
more alcohol.
Well, in Survivor, there's always the people trying to survive, and then the people who are like trying to win and play the game. In this, everyone's just trying to play the game, and it's really boring because, like, you're right, you know, there needs to be the people there who don't care.
Yeah.
Who are just there to, like, you know, even the guys are afraid to hook up with the chicks because they're afraid of, like, some weird alliance thing or not playing the game or whatever. People need to get more drunk, and they need to screw around more.
Yeah.
That's what the show is, you know, all about.
Yes.
At least as far as I can tell. But, you know, forget about Big Brother After Dark. Though that isn't one of the best ones. I would say that the real L Word is the greatest thing ever.
Oh, my God. So the L Word in general was one of our guilty
pleasures. Yes. It's a great...
another Showtime thing.
One of the great soap operas of all time. You know, kind of soap opera dramas. But also, I would say that... You learned a lot from the L Word. At least I learned a lot from the L Word.
About lesbians in Hollywood?
About lesbians in general, and about
Joey Greco certainly learned a lot.
Yes, and about, you know, just you know, homosexual culture. I learned a lot from the show L Word, and now we can actually, you know, see it, the realism of it all. And
well, one of the great things about the L Word, and then now the real L Word, is that it really shows how relationships, whether they are male female, female female, male male, whatever. They're all the same.
Yeah.
They go through the same issues. There's the same problems, the same communication breakdowns.
Yeah.
They fight about the same things, you know. It doesn't matter what kind of a couple you are.
Yeah.
Every couple has the same kind of issues. It's love and lust and betrayal and all that stuff. It all comes into play, and it's all the exact same thing.
You know, it's really funny.
Relationships are not unique flowers.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because it's, you know, it's on Showtime and you know, it's based on the L Word, which in itself is, you know, very a big drama. But, you know, it's a really important show. It's really weird. Like, it's funny because, you know, you watch it and you realize a few things. Like, you know, there's a lot of people out there, very misinformed people, who think, like, you know, people choose to be homosexual, like some sort of choice. And which, you know, and some people think, like, part of that is like, oh, you know, women just who don't like men anymore, and so they, you know, decide to be with females.
Yeah.
And there could be nothing further from the truth, especially when you look at, like, the Whitney character.
Yes.
Who is, you know, who one is exactly like the Shane character, if you watch the original the L Word.
Yeah.
But she is like any like terrible bastard guy out there who's just a player.
Yeah.
And just like plays with girls' emotions and their hearts and like...
And tries to convince themselves that they're the good guy.
Yeah.
Because they're like, I'm not trying to hurt them.
Yeah.
I'm just, you know, I just want to make them smile. I just want to make them happy when I'm around. It's like, but with no concern about like how what the state that they leave them in.
She is every like she's like Elfie.
She lies like, to all of them. Doesn't let any of them know she that they're not exclusive with
yeah,
her.
She's yeah. Ryan Phillippe from the freaking cruel like what is it called? Cruel Intentions.
Ryan Phillippe from Real Life.
Yeah, from Real Life. Exactly. I know. But it's like in, you know just goes to show it's like you know there's no such thing as like oh I'm gonna give up on men and now you know I'm gonna be a lesbian and my life is gonna be like you know crazy free.
Yeah.
It's not you know it's not like that and I think it's you know it's really good to
and
showcase that
it
stuff.
Also shows that there and some of them it's not again it's not a choice it's just I happened to fall in love with someone who happened to be another woman
yeah
you know some of them are pure on I have no interest in men I've never been interested in men I tried to fake it for a while had boyfriends
yeah.
for a while but I've never like you know I it was never attracted to them never whatever
yeah.
And then there are a few of them that are like oh yeah I totally dated guys but the person I happened to fall in love with was a woman or you know or I like guys but I really like women.
Yeah, you know, and it's funny, too, because like you said, you know, most of them did have at least one relationship with a man before.
Well,
and
pretty
they
much
realized,
all of them
yeah,
did,
exactly.
Yeah.
And they realized, like, yeah. And, it, you know, this isn't, this just, you know, the heart wants what the heart wants. You
yeah.
know, we're all different. And what's really funny, too, is the fact that, you know, homosexuality is taking a big step this year in TV.
Mm-hmm.
And I you know, I can't help but think of the whole, what was the Prop 5 thing? Or
Prop 8.
Prop yeah. 8, exactly. That happened in L.A. And, you know, and it's sort of funny how these things sort of, you know, go into TV.
That happened in L.A. because of Utah?
Yeah, exactly. Thanks, Utah. But, you know, what's really interesting is, you know, we're thinking about, there's two kind of big homosexual young male characters on TV right now. There's obviously Kurt mm-hmm. from Glee.
Yes.
And
He's such a great like you know role model kind of character and his dad
yes.
the guy who plays the dad in his show that character is possibly one of the best written characters on like the most compassionately written characters on
yes.
TV
yes
oh
and,
my
you know,
god
the,
so good
the, you know the realistic way they you know they showcase it is you know really fantastic and he's great and oh man that one episode when he tried to play straight
yeah
it was so funny
and you're getting the other one you're gonna bring up is Marshall on Tara
yeah,
who it's funny his character kind of followed the same character pattern as Jody from the old show Soap.
Yes.
Played by Billy Crystal.
Yeah, this season especially, you know, it's funny that, you know, we watched the first season of Tara and he was kind of more dealing with everything that was going on in the family, and then you had me watch Soap, and then this season he's really kind of dealt with that different kind of thing, and you know, and they're all about kind of, you know, the choices that these guys are making, the fact that they do try to, you know, have relationships with girls, and it, you
but
know...
But it's not...
It's just not... Yeah, it is not, you know... It's not in the cards. It's not, you know, what is natural to who they are.
Uh-huh.
And I think it's really interesting. And you know, the other best thing about it is, you know, I can talk about how much I respect what I'm learning, you know, about the community with the real world and reality. It's really just cool to see a lot of chicks make out.
Yeah.
So, you know.
And there's a lot of boob in it.
There's a lot of boobs in it, thank God. And Whitney, you're my hero.
And there's the actual Poppy.
Yes, the actual Poppy. Rose is amazing.
Yeah.
The cool, I mean, she is like, yeah. It's out of control. So, yeah, if you like, even if you have never saw the original L-Word, you don't need to see this because it's
Do you have any interest
pure,
in lesbians?
Yeah, it's just great. It's great.
It's
and
like
they
candy.
Have, and they have lipstick lesbians. They have butch lesbians. It's great.
Yeah. But,
it's like
but
the Baskin Robbins of lesbians.
But actually, we're going to take another quick break. And we come back, I think we'll talk a little bit about the show Top Shot. And
yes.
maybe a little bit of Psych or something. And then we'll get into some summer movies.
Yes.
And some other stuff.
And I want to talk about Being Human.
Yes.
And the second season.
Yes, yes,
and,
yes.
And the remake in America.
So we will be back with you in just a moment.
Two people who really get upset about Smallville. Geek World. Geek World. Open Thursdays at noon.
We're back. You're listening to Geek World on 92.5 KYHY. Geek World.
Geek World.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was that all about?
I wasn't
that?
Sure if I, like, I kind of felt like I said it like David Bell, like Quick World, you know?
I gotcha.
Yeah.
No,
but
you
it's
did not
Geek
say.
World.
Yes, Geek World.
And don't forget, if you want to get in touch with us, send us an email to geekworldradio@yahoo.com. Check out our website at geekworldradio.com and follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/geekworldradio.
You know, Dave? Sometimes you say it like it's one word.
Geek
so
World?
I always go Geek World.
Geek World.
But that would suck if you had to do the whole thing like with a pause like that. That would kind of be a bummer, wouldn't it? Yeah. What were you gonna say?
What are we gonna do when we can't get upset about Smallville anymore?
I know. I don't
are
know.
We watch reruns just. So we can
I guess
get upset
we'll have to
about
get
them?
Upset about like Vampire Diaries or something. I have
There's
no
way we're gonna say that.
And you never know. You never know. You know. I have to say. Yeah. I was thinking about Vampire Diaries, and I was thinking about Mia Kirshner, who I just think
is also in the L Word.
Yes, exactly. And that's why I thought of it. Like I say, I really miss the L Word.
I know.
Honestly enough, I think, you know, it was a good time for it to end. But I think that, you know, there's some of my favorite TV characters came from that show.
Yeah.
Like, I was thinking about, like, I loved Alice.
Yes.
Like, Alice was awesome.
Alice Piazzecki.
Yeah, and I loved Jenny Schechter.
Jenny
Mia Kirshner's character is amazing.
Character.
I loved Shane. Shane was an awesome character.
Yeah.
And so was Bette. Like, I love, like, those characters are, like, some of my favorite characters in TV history. It's,
yeah.
like, so funny that, like, you know, this is just such a great show. And I can't remember, did we start watching it because we saw, like, Was it Christina Loken or something? Wasn't it a scene with Christina Loken and in Shane there or something? Wasn't that when we started watching it?
It wasn't those two, because we actually started watching, I think, a little before Christina Loken came on, like, just before. We just happened to turn it on in this scene when, like...
Was it a 9.5 week scene with, like, a fridge?
There was a fridge.
Yeah!
And I think Jenny Schechter was having sex with somebody.
Yeah! It was a 9.5 week scene. Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mia Kirshner is so cool. And you know what? I will not hold the Crow City of Angels against you.
No. She was a kid then, you
know?
Yes,
exactly. She didn't know any better, you know? She was young, and, you know, the kids were doing the Crow stuff, and, you know, it was the 90s.
She was the only person that you could understand.
Exactly. She's the only person who what? Yeah. Well, actually, she's not. I mean, she's Canadian. She wasn't even American. No one in that movie was American. Think about Iggy Pop, Vincent Perez.
Wow, you remember that guy's name?
Yeah, it was Vincent Perez. Well, yeah. Well, you gotta understand. You know, The Crow. When I was a kid,
The Crow came out,
it was one of my favorite movies. So I was really excited about the sequel. And Thomas Jane, he's in it. So there
he is.
He's American. It was also in Buffy the Vampire Slayer, so who knew? Anyway, so let's continue talking about some of the shows that we like this summer. I still have to say, just watch The Real L Word. It's fantastic in so many ways.
Just get Showtime.
Yeah, just get it. Come on.
What are people doing?
Yes.
Sitting on your lazy bum.
Watch True Blood. And
that's HBO. You need HBO for that one.
Warehouse 13.
Need sci-fi for that one.
Watch,
or sci-fi on demand.
Doctor Who.
Go Time Warner. You're letting us down a little bit sometimes on
Leverage.
The on-demand stuff, but not always.
Yes. And then also watch, The Real L Word.
Psych is coming back.
Psych is coming out. We love Psych. Yeah, Psych is a great show. Let's talk about that for a second. You know, it's now in, I think it's the fifth season, isn't it?
If you watch The Mentalist, you'll love where they stole their idea from.
Yeah, that's the funniest thing. And they totally talk about it, too. Pretty much,
they make fun of it on almost every episode of Psych.
I would say at least one or two episodes every year, they're like, oh, but it's cool when he does it in Psych.
In The Mentalist.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny, because The Mentalist, like, they took the idea and then took out, like, most of the humor, you know, and made it a more serious show.
It's a total ripoff, though.
It's completely just a ripoff of Psych.
And it's not even as good as Psych. It's another procedural, you know.
Yeah.
Thing is, I like Simon Baker. I think Simon Baker's cool.
I like Simon Baker and I like Robin Tunney.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, for me, Simon Baker's greatest moment will ever be that the Smith pilot.
Yeah, that was.
I don't know if that's online. That one scene.
It's just like it just blows you away.
Yeah. That scene, literally. Yeah, that scene. Yeah, I got pun intended. It was great. Yeah, no. But I would have to say though, that scene in Smith was almost as not quite.
Disturbing.
Almost as disturbing as that the True Blood sex scene that happened two episodes ago. It was just like, jeez. It was so beyond
that. You just did that, didn't you?
Yeah, and Simon Baker, you know, he plays a great sociopath. You know, unfortunately, I don't think he's that way in The Mentalist. But yeah, Psych is just really, really funny. You know, James Roday, you know, plays...
Dooley Hill.
You know, they play, Sean and Gus. Sean is a fake psychic, but a real detective, as the tagline says. Corbin Burnson plays his father.
The pineapple plays the pineapple.
Yes, the pineapple's there.
There's a pineapple in every episode.
Yes, exactly. It's just a fantastic show. It's really, really funny. It's mostly rooted in comedy. Very much like... very much the feel of Monk, but obviously the character is different, but they're both from, you know, that universe that...
The USA universe is kind of a fun place to be.
It's a place where people can die, but humor can still live.
They've taken procedural dramas and turned them on their head. They actually... It's more that they took procedural dramas and put them in an insane asylum.
Yeah, you know? Kind of, yeah.
Shake them up, crazy, funny.
Well, you know... Sometimes Psych can sort of be like a cartoon. It's almost anime-ish in some ways because it can get really funny, even though it always starts off with a murder.
Well, it's because it's goofy.
Yes, it's very goofy.
It's really goofy.
And those two guys together are just fantastic. They're such a good duo, such a great comedy team, and just a funny show. And, you know, the other really cool thing about Psych is the fact that it's almost always really silly, even though there's murder in it. But, last season's finale and the season finale before that, you know, they've been getting into the yin-yang killers.
Yeah.
And it got really serious for like one or two episodes.
Even their mid-season finales, like, wasn't the one where Sean got kidnapped, wasn't it like a mid-season?
That was a mid-season, wasn't it? Yeah, that was really good. Yeah.
They kind of have weird seasons where they start in the summer and then they take a kind of like a month or two off.
Yeah, it's weird. But I like the fact that they're able to break it up once in a while. And when they do the actual real dramatic stuff, it works out really well. And it's really good. And I think part of it is because, you know, they spend so much time being so silly.
Well, they have all these people that are great with comedy, which means that they are incredible with timing. And their timing is all just spot on.
And I also like, you can kind of like watch, like, you know, most of the show has kind of become, you know, a reunion for the Breakfast Club. You know, they have like, you know, Judd Nelson.
Yes, yeah, they've slowly but surely been bringing the Breakfast Club in.
Judd Nelson and Ally Sheedy have both been characters in more than one episode. And I feel like, was Molly Ringwald in an episode or not?
I think she was.
She's been in a bunch of like stuff on and off last year. But yeah, it's just, it's really, really funny. And you know, they like to bring, because they often bring up John Hughes and they like to, you know, bring the guys back. But just a great show and really, really funny. I don't watch this. I know White Collar is coming
back.
White
Collar is, it's actually, I enjoy it. Yeah. It's not your kind of show,
but I enjoy it.
It's, you know, it has a similar feel to Leverage in that, you know, like somebody who's a con is helping, you know, helping people, you know, in this case helping the cops.
And for those of you geeks out there who might not, you know, really know much about it or the main guy, it's Bryce Larkin.
Yeah, his name is Matt Bomer, and he's Bryce Larkin from Chuck.
Yeah, exactly. And so you know, I appreciate that.
And
you know,
in Entertainment Weekly, he pours water on himself.
Yes, he does. Yes. Well, it's
not nearly as sexy when you're standing there with an empty jug.
Well, it's a recession. You can't get people to, you know, they can't rent a waterfall.
He didn't have to be holding the jug. Yes, he could have just been wet.
No, it made him cooler. Like, he's the master of his own destiny. No one super soaks him. He super soaks himself. So like Ernest Hemingway's like, no. Sickness isn't going to kill me. I'm going to kill myself. You know?
Right.
It's that kind of idea, you know?
You know,
if only maybe Ernest Hemingway was bronze. Do you think he's going to show up in Warehouse 13?
Most likely not.
No, it could be cool, though. You never know. I went to Hemingway's house once in Key West. There were a lot of cats there.
Really?
Like, yeah.
In the house?
Yeah. There was like a cat.
Like an actual cat?
Yeah, it was just some cat.
Like live?
I don't really remember anymore. I remember a bird pooped on my head that day, though. Like, on my head. Yeah, I was like 15 or 16. It was not cool at all. I didn't like it. Yeah, not great. Yeah. And the laughing is totally worth it. So, now, we talked about the real L Word. We talked about Jersey Shore. We talked about Big Brother After Dark. So, let's talk about the other big reality show that's new this year that we just love.
Love.
And that is...
Top Shot.
Yes. It's a History Channel show. Mm-hmm. I didn't even realize History Channel made shows, so that was pretty cool. You know, I didn't realize they did anything other than, you know, like Hitler's Third Reich and like all the weird like History Channel stuff, but apparently they make original programming and it's awesome.
Everyone's making the original programming. Yes. They can all have like 15 channels now.
And I'm joking. I know that History Channel's done like a lot of stuff outside of just that
History
stuff.
History Channel's It's totally awesome.
Yeah, it's a great channel. And I think,
I love learning.
Not me, but that's what you're here for.
Now I love Top Shot. I'm the kind of person, I'm not a gun person at all.
No, not at all. It's really lame.
Whatever.
Be more American. You're like a Canadian.
I'm all about bow and arrows. I love the longbow.
Yes.
Love the longbow.
You're a big fan of the bow and arrow. Mm-hmm. I would have to say you like Robin Hood and Kagome very much. Yeah.
Oh my God, bow and arrows are the best. But anyways.
Because there's something noble about a bow and arrow. It's not a gun.
Like a longbow is just, it's such a beautiful weapon.
You know, there was a time when that was like cheating in war, like a gun. You know, that was like, you couldn't get more cheating than that when there was only swords and shields. I think, you know, Top Shot.
There's swords and shields.
Yeah,
still pointy objects.
Yeah, but you can't kill someone with a sword from a mile away.
You've got a really good arm, you can.
Yes, you're right. I'm sorry. If you're Achilles and are a super and you're like half god, half human.
I think I once saw a movie where somebody used their sword in a bow.
Do you ever think about not talking sometimes?
No, it's the radio.
Good.
That would make that air.
Well, I'll fill in. Don't worry. I'll help you.
That's not a good thing.
No, it's not. It really isn't. No.
Anyway, so Top Shot is awesome because not only, you know, do they use all sorts of weapons, they actually used a bow and arrow in one of the episodes. So these people have to be totally proficient in all sorts of weaponry. They also really go into explaining the weapons and teaching you about the different weapons, and they use like historical rifles. They use modern day stuff. It's just really cool.
You know what I find really funny?
I think it's a javelin.
You know what I find really funny, real quick, is the fact that, you know, we're going to go back to Smallville, even though it's not going to, you know, be on after next year. You know, I really liked Smallville because of all the superhero stuff and the hot chicks, and you watched it because you know I liked it a lot. I think though, ever since they brought in the Green Arrow, now there's bows and arrows. Now, like, you fully like the show as much as I do. It's,
you know,
it's because of the bows and arrows.
It's been our show, you know, but you were definitely like I was never gonna not watch it, but yeah.
I'll put it like this: CSI will go down as a greater show than Smallville. Of course, CSI is one of the great
CSI
shows of all
seasons
time.
One through five.
That's the thing. They started the same year, and right now Smallville is a far better show than
CSI. It's so funny because like Smallville, like it fell off, and then all of a sudden it made this complete turnaround.
Yeah,
CSI fell off and kept falling.
Oh man,
and falling
it's
and falling,
so
and I'm. Well, I hold out hope. I really do.
We had a really good discussion yesterday about the fact that, you know, William Peterson, you know, was this great, really, really great, you know, like star, right,
yeah,
of CSI. And the other thing is they built an entire, like, this really great supporting cast around him.
Yes.
And it was clear that the plan was going to be when he was going to leave that Gary Durden would take over.
Yes.
Because not only was he sort of the, like, rising star in that group, but also, you know, he was an insanely attractive guy and a very good character and a very good actor.
Yeah, and the character itself, they'd really built up that he was Gil's protege.
Yeah, exactly. And unfortunately, you know, Gary Durden sort of went off the deep end.
Yeah.
And you know, his life got all screwed up, and then, you know,
so they had to kill off his character.
Yeah. And so,
like, they didn't even get rid of it. They killed off his character.
Yeah. And which is really sad because he was so great.
Georgia Fox left because she just couldn't deal with it anymore,
and
although she came back.
And so, you know, William Peterson left, and so, you know, we got this great supporting cast, but the guy that was kind of clear was going to take over isn't there anymore. And they need to replace William Peterson, so they get, you know, Lawrence Fishburne, who is, of course, one of the great actors, but his role wasn't very good. And
he was like, they tried to shove too much into too many episodes that like was just not even worth it for the end.
And then who's the star anymore? Because, you know, Catherine's in charge, but I almost feel like she has less screen time now.
She does.
She's
way less. And then Georgie, he's a great side character, that's like he should stay there. And they brought Greg out of the lab, and then they forgot he existed.
He's way more boring out of the lab.
They forgot. Yeah. He's barely been in the episodes lately. Like, the last 2 years, he's barely been there.
And what are you left with? You're left with, like, Lawrence Fishburne, who's, like, some dude whose dad was a killer, and he doesn't want to be a killer.
They've been going a psychologist or whatever. And they've been going into, like, some of the lab rats, you know?
Yeah. And it's like, what are you guys doing? And the worst thing about Lawrence Fishburne's character is, like, you know, he's like a CSI one. He's just starting to be a CSI, so it's sort of like he has no authority.
He's a consultant, practically.
Yeah, he has no authority, and he's like a rookie, yet he's, like, the main guy who's, like, you know, who's not only investigating the killers, but also, you know, doing all the interrogation. It's just stupid.
Though he did get one episode where he got to be Morpheus.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, it's just like, it just fell way downhill, and I feel bad. But also, you know,
I want it to come back. I want it to come back, like, I don't mean, like, I want it back, that, like, now. I mean, I want it to go back to what it was.
Yeah, but I think, you know, also the big thing about CSI was just kind of, you know, the well. You know, there was a well, you know, that was a CSI well, and then it was like another town was like, hey, can we use your well?
Yeah.
It's like, well, okay, I think we can survive. And then another town came over, can we use your well sooner or later?
And then all that happened while other towns were just poking at it.
Yeah, like just taking, you know, a few cups here and there. Yeah, so, you know, maybe what they should do is they should just compress all the shows together again, so it can be like, you know, it can be Horatio Caine and Gary Sinise there, and they can all just be, you know, they can be the leaders.
Seriously?
And you can shoot people, and maybe that would be the show, you know, like Horatio Caine shoots people, and then the CSI people from CSI investigate his shooting.
I kind of feel like all the other CSIs would just slap David Caruso.
Yeah, I have a feeling. Yeah. It's like, really? With the sunglasses and everything? Anyway, let's get back to Top Shot.
By the way, when they made fun of that
Supernatural,
I know. Genius.
That episode was on the other day, the switching
channels
or whatever.
Yeah.
Oh my god, one of the great episodes of that show. What a great show that is. You know, it's I don't think those guys are going to be at Comic-Con. I know that
they're probably filming. They were last year, like it was Comic-Con was during filming time for Smallville.
But I think they were there though, weren't they?
They were, because they happened to have time off then.
Yeah.
But yeah, but that's why like Tom Welling couldn't be at Comic-Con last year because he was busy filming.
He'll be here this year though.
Yeah.
Him and Erica Durance and also I can't remember her name.
Cassidy Freeman.
Cassidy Freeman, thank you. Let's talk about Top Shot. I think one of the really cool things is, A, you know, like I said, like you said, you're sort of enthralled by it, and you don't even like guns.
I love learning. That's the great thing about the History Channel.
Yeah.
It's all about learning.
Well,
and
you're right, and that's a big part about it, but also, you know, the show's about skill. The show is 100% about skill and being good at things that you're not used to being used. You know, basically, they get all the top shots, all the top shooters, and all the different categories through the world. You know, you get guys who are, you know, marksmen with rifle, with pistols, you know, SWAT team members, Marines.
Yeah, you got a kid on his, like, rifle shooting team who is the that national kid is awesome.
The national rifle team, like the USA national rifle team.
Kelly. Is that, oh, okay, yeah, I wasn't sure if it was like a college team or his like.
That's
national
why everyone's
team.
So scared of him because yeah. he's on the freaking national team.
The thing is that like okay, first off, there was
and
this,
his eyes
this
are
one
better.
Total. Dicko radio host guy that was like that was on
sucks,
it that was
man.
that just
I hate radio show
from the second he was on he decided that he hated this kid and so that everything this kid did he's this guy tried show. To turn it around to be like this kid sucks yeah. and he's stupid and I hate him and the thing is that this kid was just so much better than him and not just better than him but a better human being than him
like
a better guy than him like it's like someone who would help out everyone on his team and help out the people around and was there to like I've got like I'm you know I do this like essentially professionally you know this is what I do I compete in this stuff so I can help you with some stuff that's competing here's some tips
let's say we miss you know we missed the second episode
we did
miss it but let's say this from what we found out what happened it was clear that the guy that you know Kelly messed up but he's a kid I mean he is a kid
this is like some essentially 18 year old kid who's like the youngest one in the house who's just trying to like you know he's trying to act more adult with the other people and trying to be in their conversations but the thing is that anything this kid said that guy was gonna take
it was
like,
clear
wrong.
That the guy was it was definitely compensating for some sort of bitterness but anyway the show itself is just fantastic
because of things like that you get into the characters too which is the thing about any of these reality shows it's like you get just as into the characters as you get into the competition
and it's just really cool I think the greatest part about it is you know the variety is the fact that you know you got one person who's a rifle shooter but the next day they shoot a bow and arrow they have no clue what they're doing
I like how some of them just get so pissed it's like oh, I just can't believe it and I'm gonna lose on this bow and arrow thing and they're gonna make me go home because of a bow and arrow and that's not a real weapon
you know
it's not a gun like my gun it's like come on there's people that are like rifle shooters that have never shot a handgun there's people that like you know you can't just act like your weapon is the best weapon and because you don't know how to shoot this that all of a sudden it's unfair it's
know.
Like
I don't
really?
Know what the guy's name is but there's a real douchebaggio in there
it's like
who just...
it's like Brent or something it's a name that just it fits him
he's
so
just
well
sort of like a you
a
know
frat boy
he's total frat boy 100% He's like dad owns a dealership.
He's such a he whines at everything.
Yeah.
Everything makes him whine.
And it's funny too because everyone's trying to be really polite. And I wish someone just said, "Dude, the show's called Top Shot.
Yeah,
it's for everything, not just
not
what
top
you
rifle
do.
Guy, not top shotgunner.
It's not top pistol dude.
Yeah,
I mean, he was just lucky that the crossbows were that like the next one instead of bows and arrows. But yeah, and there's a lot of really interesting personalities. But I think what's really cool is you know, in reality TV, no matter what, they always cast for personalities.
Yeah.
But in this one, you know, there's only so much, like, they can do because they have to still get people who can shoot.
Yeah.
And so, you know, in the end, it's still people based on their skills.
And
unlike American Idol,
where,
you know, it's sort of like, oh, you're pretty and white. We can sell you.
Yeah.
Let's pick you, which, by the way, that show is just deep sixing. I can't wait till that show's gone. Will it ever be gone, anime?
It might. Well, I mean, it's got a contract for the next however many years still. But, like, it's going to end up on Saturday nights or something.
Well,
I'm just
glad So You Think You Can Dance is just a far better show. Because that is about talent. Though they do, you know, kind of weed out the less attractive people. At the end of the day, you still have to do what you have to do.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, we also watch that show, too. But, you know, the thing about, just getting back to Top Shot.
Top Shot has these great personalities that are often butting heads because... You've got these really aggressive, a lot of aggressive people because you've got military and police officers.
Yes.
And so they're all these people that are, like, used to really intense situations. And then you have these people that are, like they shoot in competitions
or Olympic stuff.
Or they're an expert with one certain gun or something. And so you got these people that are just really good shots. And then you got these people that are just really aggressive personalities.
Yeah. And you even get a few civilians too. Like the one guy that went home, he was like a vintage rifle expert.
Yeah. Something like that.
He was a shooter who wasn't actually in the military or something like that. He was a civilian.
Yeah.
You get a really good mix there. I mean, obviously the radio guy, you know?
Yeah.
Perfect example.
I like to call him Dick.
Yeah, and the competitions, you know, are just really, really cool. And the fact that, you know, it's anybody's game because anytime, you know, if you're expert at pistol, the next day they have spitballs or something, you know? Or like, you know, I hope there's a blow dart competition.
That's what I was saying. I hope there's like a javelin or something.
Yeah.
You know? Like just something ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, In like the
there's gotta be a knife throwing competition.
I know exactly. Yeah, I mean, I was totally into the bow and arrow one because they started off with the longbow, and then in the actual competition, they gave them like the you know the crossbows, which are much more like guns. So that the whiner baby he then had you know was like
whiner baby.
Yeah, the whiner baby then got to be like, oh, this is like a gun. This is a real weapon.
Yeah, exactly.
Really, don't disrespect an ancient awesome weapon.
Doesn't it make him seem sort of like I don't want to use the word. Like
whiner baby.
Yeah. Can I use the word for female anatomy that
no?
Can't, well, you know what I mean, right?
Oh yeah. Why don't you just call him a kitty?
Yeah. He's like a kitty cat.
Yeah.
Because honestly, like he's just he comes. He's like, oh well, at least this has optics, so I can actually use this. This is like
it's
a
like
real
wow.
Fun.
You know what that makes you? Not the
yeah.
top shot.
Dude, you suck. It's like wow.
Oh, I need optics.
You need
and
optics
that's why I'm the
trigger.
Top shot. Really? You know what? You are not the top shot if you need optics.
Yeah.
There are people there with you that don't need that.
Do you think Jason Bourne needs optics?
You know what? I bet Kelly doesn't need optics.
Yeah. Come on, man. You think, the real top shot doesn't need optics. The real top shot just needs his eyes and his hands.
He
that's all he
need
needs.
Those things.
Exactly.
You know,
he's blind.
And, yeah.
He just throw knives with a blindfold on. Wait a second. Remember that one Bones? When
that was awesome.
He had to throw knives at her, and she's like, he can even do it blindfolded. He's like, what? Anyway. Sorry, I just thought
awesome.
Of that. Yeah. It's just a really great show. It's really, really cool and really fun. And I love the way that the team-based stuff because, you know, they have the red and the blue team. And the fact is there are some people who are just so weak at certain things that they can kind of sit out.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it would be
although the other
much.
Team gets to choose who gets to sit out.
Yeah.
And it's,
that's
it
really
was,
interesting.
It was one of those things where it just happened that one of the teams just kept losing and losing and losing.
Well, they had to weed out, like, the weaker people. I think they're much stronger.
It was the best part because the weaker people were all the people that were
whining all them?
No, that everyone was convinced. It started off with the people that everyone was convinced were the better people. Like,
like
the one that Kelly beat out in the first episode. The military guy who'd been in the military for like 40 years and he's so strong and knows everything and is such a good guy and like he's so good at shooting. And really?
Like,
missed like everything.
Well, it's like that song, you know, what's the difference between me and you? You talk a good one, but, you know, you don't do what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
It's like that. It's like, you know, the guy was a lot of talk, but he couldn't, you know, sell it. Granted, you know, he made the dumb decision to tell everyone he wanted to compete against Kelly, who was the, like, basically the main rifle guy in a rifle challenge.
Yeah. The rifle guy who was, like you said, on, like, the American team.
Yeah, that's like saying, you know, it's like being in, you know, in the Justified world and being like, if I'm going to duel anyone, you know, it's going to be Raylan Givens. Really? Really? You want to make that decision, huh?
Yeah.
You really want to die, don't you? It's like, why would you do that? But anyway, Top Shot is truly, truly an awesome show, and we definitely recommend it. I would say after that, you know, the guilty pleasure, one of our guilty pleasures we can't stop watching is Wipeout.
Yeah, apparently, it's a lot of people's guilty pleasure.
It's
the show
huge
is doing
ratings.
It's like it's on multiple days of the week now.
Yeah.
It's, you know...
I think it averages over 2 or 3 million viewers, which is really big for a show like that.
We started watching it purely to make fun of it as, you know,
Not Ninja Warrior.
As lame Ninja Warrior. But at the same time, watching people smack their faces into things and get punched in the face by mechanical punching gloves and just getting covered in muck and paint and
yeah, you know,
I miss the main sweeper arm with people talking smack and having to jump over. I miss that so much. That was the best because they really got to talk smack
and
at each other.
And the psych out stuff really worked.
Yeah,
I agree. You know, I think Wipeout's one of those interesting things. You know, it was sort of like for us, the whole thing was sort of like, you know, the doctors getting the next doctor.
Yeah.
It was, we thought it was like Ninja Warrior for a while and then we had to finally just kind of realize.
It was just an obstacle course.
Yeah.
It was just an obstacle course, not intended. For, like, people that are really good athletes aren't going to necessarily do well at all.
No, not at all. This whole thing is just about people getting hurt.
Yeah.
Which is great.
And apparently, we just like train wrecks.
Everyone does.
Yeah.
Why do you think American Idol is so successful? It's because Simon Cowell's mean.
Yeah, it's true.
It's the same thing with Wipeout.
So it's why people watch the, like, first few episodes when they're being really mean to everyone and
people,
then stop.
Well, people like to see people get hurt. It makes them feel better about their lives. It's true. It's really true.
It is.
I mean, come on. Look at Passion of the Christ. Why do you think that did so well?
Wow. Anyway.
It's true. It's about Jesus getting freaking flayed for like an hour and a half.
Let's move on to our next break.
So that guy could be racist and
stuff. When we come back, we'll talk about some summer movies and other fun stuff like that.